The New Testament passage is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3-7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from death, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been to Canterbury at 5 years now, and this is my first time preaching in the morning service, if you noticed. So you might notice from my voice, but so I'm extremely anxious at the moment, and I couldn't get any sleep last night, literally. So, yeah, so please be gentle. How about we pray before we listen to the God's word being preached? So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and loving mercy, that by your grace we can gather on this Lord's Day to praise your holy name. And we also thank you that you are a God who speaks to us through your word. And we thank you for the wonderful fellowship we have in the Spirit through your word. So help us now with your Spirit to humbly understand your word, and help us to enjoy great grace through the preaching of your word. And as we enjoy your grace, help us to grow all the more in love of you and in love of our neighbors. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look back our journey of life, we noticed life is usually full of trials and hardships that lead us to grief and feel miserable. And year 2020 was especially a difficult year for many. And many of us are still going through trials at this moment. We see number of infections around the world is still record high. We see many people suffering from depression because of the isolation and lockdown. And our economy is in the worst hit in history. And it seems that financial hardship is inevitable for many families. And if we look at the historical context of today's passage, the recipients of Peter's letter were also going through some serious life trials as well. This letter was written around 64 AD, and this was the year when the Roman Emperor Nero started persecuting Christians. And he was a person who brought upon the most severe persecution in Christian history. And we can easily assume the Christians at this time were experiencing extreme hardship because of the persecution. And as we understand this historical context of today's passage, there's one thing that really seems strange and unusual. And it is that, as we can see from verse 3, Peter begins this passage by praising God with joy. I mean, how is that even possible? How can someone praise God when they are in the severe persecution? I mean, under these situations, isn't he supposed to be worried and be in panic? But how can he begin the letter with praising God instead? In answer to this question, we find two solid grounds of how we can rejoice and praise God beyond our circumstances. So the first ground that leads us to praise God even in trials is the living hope we have in Christ. We see, hope is really a powerful tool that drives our life. For example, I recently watched a documentary series on Amazon Prime, and it was a documentary that closely captured behind the scenes of a football club in English Premier League. And as I watched the documentary, it was really amazing to see how much effort they put into the team, like different teams in the club, like the medical team, the coaching team, and the players really work hard together as a team. And if we ask what drives them to work so hard and invest that much money into a club, we see their hope of winning the Premier League is what drives them to work really hard. And even in our day-to-day life, we see all the things we do is usually driven by looking to a certain hope. For example, someone might work really hard at work with the hope of raising enough money to buy a house. Or someone might be exercising really hard, going to gym every day with the hope of getting fit and healthy. So like these examples, hope is really a powerful tool that drives our day-to-day life. But there are also some major problems with these common hopes as well, with these worldly hopes. We see there is a level of great uncertainty in the worldly hope. If you look at the example of the football club again, their hope of winning the championship is what drives them to really work hard. But despite their strong desire and hope and all the effort to win the championship, considering the competitive nature of the Premier League, we do not know if the club will win the championship. So we see there is great uncertainty in their hope as well. And the second problem of worldly hope is that it is subject to our circumstances. And they are something that will eventually perish in the end. For example, while many people live with materialistic hope, like a luxurious car or house, we see these hopes are something that can be easily affected by our circumstances. What if you lose your job during this pandemic and no longer able to have a stable income? We see it means you may lose your materialistic hope. And the greater problem is that this is something that will eventually perish in the end before death. So while we see all these problems of worldly hopes, Peter from today's passage speaks about a living hope that is completely different to the worldly hope. And we accordingly see this becomes our solid ground to praise God beyond our circumstances. So if you look at verse 3 again, Peter writes, "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through resurrection of Jesus Christ from dead." When Peter writes, "to be born again to a living hope," we see Peter is speaking in the context of being born again in the Spirit. This means when we are saved by grace and become a born-again Christian, this means we are born again to a living hope. We are born again to a living hope. And this further means we no longer look towards and pursue the short-lived worldly hope, but we look towards a far better hope, a living hope. And Peter accordingly tells us the important aspects of the Christian hope we have in Christ. So in verse 4, Peter writes, "to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." So based on this verse, we see there are two distinctive aspects of our Christian hope. Firstly, when Peter writes, "kept in heaven for you," we see our Christian hope is not something that belongs to this present world. It is not something that belongs to this fallen world, but it belongs to the next world to come. And secondly, when Peter writes, "this inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading," we see this is an everlasting inheritance which is free from death and decay. And when we also look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, Jesus also speaks about our inheritance, and he says this, "do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." So from this verse, we see our inheritance is not only everlasting, but there is also an aspect of great security and certainty of the inheritance, free from damage and stealing. And lastly, today's passage also tells us the important ground of our living hope as well. So in verse 3 says, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from death. We see from this verse that his resurrection is our only ground of this living hope. We see Christ's death on the cross as the penalty of our sin, and his resurrection means he is the one who has defeated the power of sin and death. And he is the one with great authority and power. And as we understand this power and authority of Jesus revealed through his resurrection, we learn that our Christian hope is sustained by this power of Christ. And therefore, it is a certain and everlasting hope, and it cannot be compared with the unreliable hope of this world. And the grace of our Lord is that we now have this far better hope, a living hope to look at and rejoice in it. So the question I would like to ask you is, where are you placing your hope now? If you are placing your hope on the things of this world, you are not fully enjoying the wonderful benefit of God's salvation. But based on today's passage, we see God's grace is pointing. It is pointing to the living hope, and it is when we engage our thoughts and mind on this living hope, we can accordingly rejoice and praise God beyond our circumstances. And now we see the second reason, the second ground of how we can praise God even in our trials. We see it is because trials serve as an opportunity to prove the genuineness of our faith. If we look at verse 7, Peter mentions the tested genuineness of your faith. The Greek word for genuineness normally means proven genuineness by test. Proven genuineness by test. And that's why ESV says the tested genuineness. And we normally expect everything that has value to be tested. For example, if you're trading a diamond ring, knowing the value and the significant amount of money that you will pay, you wouldn't buy the ring unless it is tested and proven to be a genuine diamond ring. And likewise, knowing the value of the faith, we see it is something that needs to be tested. And the important purpose of trials is to test the genuineness of our faith. When we are at school or uni, we have lots of exams, and we all don't like exams. But one of the benefits of exam is that it is really a good tool to test and prove something. For example, let's say I want to become an accountant. For me to become an accountant, I would have to pass the CPA exam. And of course, studying to pass the exam would be a stressful and painful thing to study. But what does it mean once I pass the exam after years of study? It proves that my knowledge and skill in accounting is real and genuine. Like this example, we see trials in life serves as an opportunity to test and affirm that our faith in the Lord is real and genuine. So when we are in life trials, despite all the reasons and excuses to leave the church and leave God, the fact that you hang on to God and his word and continued your journey as a Christian affirms that your faith in the Lord is genuine. And from today's passage, we see the great value of that proved genuine faith as well. So when Peter writes in verse 7 that it is more precious than gold that perishes, it says it is more precious than gold. In our economic system, gold is one of the most valuable material. But in God's economy, genuine faith is something far more precious than gold. And today's passage also explains why such faith is so valuable and precious. And if you look at verse 5, when it says, by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation. If we have a look at the Greek verb for being guarded, it is normally used in a military term. And this means protect someone from danger. So we see it is God in his great sovereignty protects and guard his people through faith. And you may ask, what does it practically mean to protect someone through faith? We see first, it is God who gave us that faith. We often think that faith is something we can generate within ourselves. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it clearly tells us that the faith is the gift of God. And by that faith, we rest upon his word and find great assurance and security. To give you a real-life example, let's say because of this pandemic, we are going through a serious financial hardship. And in such situation, we can certainly be tempted to walk away from the Lord and do all sorts of sinful things like gambling, or you might even be tempted to steal something. But instead, in such a vulnerable situation, you find great assurance from God's word that Jesus is our good shepherd. And as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, he is the one who knows and provides all our needs. So by resting upon that word in faith, by trusting his provision, you find great comfort and security from his word. And you continue to walk faithfully in the Lord. So this is one of the examples of God protecting and guarding his people through faith, by faith trusting in his words. And today's passage tells us this is of why such faith is so precious, more precious than gold. And we find another reason of why such faith is so valuable. And from verse 7 towards the end, it says, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When it says praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, this is the term that is commonly used in doxologies to praise Christ. So for example, if you look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, it says this, to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and forever, glory and power forever and ever. So when Peter says, we are the one who will result in praise and glory and honor through faith. So what this means is that it is the Christians who will share his glory on the day of his return. And it is through faith that we will share his glory. So we see, despite all the trials we have in this life, we have this promise of glorious future. And it is by faith that we will share this glory. And faith is the key to this glorious future. And this is why genuine faith is so valuable, more precious than gold. Now, knowing the value of this genuine faith, we also learn that faith is really the greatest and the most precious gift that we can receive from God. In our life, we can easily focus on the things we do not have. It can be money, or it can be health. And you might complain to God that, Lord, why am I still financially struggling? Or Lord, why do I have to suffer from this sickness? But I would like to remind you that if you have faith in the Lord, and in that faith you have passed through many trials, and it is proven to be genuine faith, I would like to remind you that God has given you the greatest gift, more precious than gold. Because it is through this faith that God will guard you and he will protect you. And it is through this gift of faith that we will share his glory. So as I conclude the sermon today, we face many trials and hardships in our life. And from the viewpoint of this world, suffering and trials are meaningless thing. It holds no value, and it is something that we just have to avoid by all cost. But through today's passage, we see the meaning and the value of trials in life. And we see it is to lead us to see and realize how empty and how vain our worldly hope is, so that we can re-engage our thoughts and mind on the new living hope we have in Christ. We also see trials are to test and affirm the faith you have in Christ. And as we understand this great value of genuine faith, we can accordingly praise God. We can praise God for giving us this greatest gift, this precious gift, more precious than gold. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by your grace, we can find reasons to rejoice and praise you, even in our life trials. So when we face life trials, help us to turn away from the vain hopes of this world, and help us to look to the living hope we have in Christ. And we also pray that through this trial, it would be an opportunity for us to affirm the faith we have in you and truly see the great value of genuine faith, so that we can praise your grace for giving us this gracious gift of faith to endure. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.